The second reading is found in Paul's first letter to the Corinthian Christians, chapter 12. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. Therefore, I am informing you that no one speaking by God's Spirit says, "Accursed be upon Jesus," and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of ministries, and yet the same Lord. There are various kinds of activity, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. Each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one person, a message of wisdom is given by the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge, as the same Spirit provides it. By the same Spirit, faith is given to someone else, and to another, the same Spirit gives healing gifts. Another is given powers to do miracles, another the gift of prophecy, another the evaluating of spirits. Someone else, different kinds of tongues, and another the interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them to each one individually as he desires. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. There are certain days, certain occasions, when it is fitting to give a gift. A wedding, a baby shower, a graduation, a wedding anniversary, a retirement, maybe a confirmation. Of course, there's Christmas that we usually, at least those of us in this part of the world, tend to celebrate by giving gifts to one another. But there is one day, one occasion, one event that happens every year where you can pretty much assume or expect that you are going to receive a gift. That day is your birthday. For many of us, that celebration of our birthdays, you know, that annual celebration when we celebrate the completion of another trip around the sun, it's a day of gifts. Now, maybe it's a small celebration, one or two gifts. Maybe it's simply the gift of getting to go out to a nice meal at a restaurant with some loved ones or friends. Maybe it's just simply having an experience, the gift of having an experience with loved ones. Or maybe at certain times it's a big blowout, you know, when a child turns one, or when you reach an age like 18 or 21, or when you reach, you know, like 90. You know, you have a big party for that, a big celebration. However that celebration for your birthday might be, it is always an annual day, an annual opportunity to celebrate God's gift to you, the gift of life. Now, as you well know, it's not Christmas today. School's out. And while the temps have been reasonable and we enjoy them while we can, we all know what's coming very, very soon. Those hot, humid 90s, week in and week out later this summer. Memorial Day weekend is pretty much the unofficial beginning of summer for so many people. And while it would be natural for us to talk about patriotism or barbecue or vacation plans, today we're going to talk about gifts. Not presents wrapped with paper and bow, but gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to his church. You see, the day of Pentecost, as we talked about in the children's message, is that day when we remember how the Lord poured out his Spirit on his church and sent his gospel out to the ends of the earth. But as also mentioned, this day is the birthday of the Christian church, and the Holy Spirit gives gifts to his church. So what do you give to the person who has everything? The Corinthian Christians thought they had everything. Many of these Christians who lived there in the city of Corinth, they were convinced that they were the creme de la creme of Christianity. They were an extremely gifted group of believers. I mean, impressively, the collection of gifts among the people there is just probably unlike anywhere else. They had what we would consider to be ordinary gifts and extraordinary gifts. And much like the miracles that Jesus had performed to validate his ministry, to confirm the authority that he had to proclaim the word as God himself. Well, when Paul brought the gospel to those people in Corinth, the Holy Spirit supported his gospel work with an abundance of spiritual gifts. But then Paul left. He couldn't stick around there all the time, and, well, the people started to misuse those gifts. They viewed, many among them actually viewed that this particular gift or that particular gift, that is the be-all and end-all of being a Christian. You were not really a believer. You were not a first-class Christian unless you had a gift of prophecy or a gift of healing or the gift of speaking in tongues or some other extraordinary, miraculous gift. They looked down as less important to other believers who just had ordinary gifts. And so those gifts were used for selfish purposes. Those gifts were used for their own glory and their own individual good. And so as you read 1 Corinthians, you get the impression that they struggle with pride and division and jealousy and envy in their midst. In fact, like spoiled children, they felt that they deserved all those gifts that they got, and they considered themselves superior to their fellow ordinary believers. Oh, you're good with your hands. Well, I can heal people. Such self-centered, self-glorifying attitudes threaten to tear their congregation apart. And so if you were to look in 1 Corinthians, in this section where we find our reading for today, you'd find that Paul spends no less than three chapters of his letter to the Corinthians talking about these spiritual gifts, teaching these Corinthian Christians about these gifts that the Spirit gives so graciously. And yet, in the few verses we have before us today, we're not going to go through three chapters today, but in the few verses we have before us, Paul helps us to understand what these gifts are, who gets these gifts, why the Spirit gives them, and what the Spirit wants us to do with those gifts. And I can assure you right off the bat that it's never for selfish gain or glory. I am informing you that no one speaking by God's Spirit says, "A curse be upon Jesus," and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Of all the gifts that the Holy Spirit pours out, including all the gifts he poured out on the day of Pentecost, including all the gifts he has poured out in the 2,000 years since, there is one common gift that is given to all of us, the gift of saving faith in Jesus our Lord. On that first Pentecost, what was the point of all that extraordinary activity going on? You know what I'm talking about, the freight train-like sound of a wind over a house and the flames dancing above the heads of the disciples, or the fact that they could speak fluently in different languages. What was the point? Was it to impress a city jam-packed with Pentecost pilgrims from all over the known world? Was it to raise the standards, or the standing, excuse me, of the disciples? Was it to demonstrate who is really a believer and who is not? What was the point? Well, among that international crowd, crowd of folks from all over the known world gathered around the house where the disciples were, what were the people saying? We hear them declaring in our own languages the wonderful works of God. The whole point of all that extraordinary activity was to make sure that the world heard the gospel. Nothing more. The Apostle Peter then boldly proclaimed the good news of the crucified and risen Jesus. He proclaimed to them forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit through the waters of baptism. And all the other disciples proclaimed that good news with him so that everyone could understand. And Luke, in fact, he tells us that about 3,000 people joined their number that day. 3,000 people were baptized that day. That's impressive by any and every standard. On that day, the Holy Spirit gave the gift of saving faith in Christ through the gospel proclaimed and heard. And then it went out. It went out from Jerusalem to Antioch to Corinth. It went out from the Middle East, from what we consider to be the Holy Land, from there into Europe, into Asia, into Africa, across oceans, to North and South America, and then to Florida and to Maitland here today. Every single believer enjoys that extraordinary gift of grace because the Spirit alone gives that gift through the good news of Jesus Christ. That is his primary work, to connect us to the saving work of Christ. There is nothing else that is his primary work, to connect us to that good news of our Savior Jesus. Because if we try on our own to do anything with that, we're going to have problems. In fact, we're not just going to have problems, we're going to be lost. That gift of saving faith in Christ alone comes only through the work of the Holy Spirit through the gospel. You can't get that gift anywhere else. You can't get that gift any way else. In fact, later we're going to confess, I cannot by my own thinking or choosing believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts. The gift of saving faith is the most important gift that you can receive, and you cannot do, like any other gift, you don't do anything to receive it. The Holy Spirit works through you hearing that gospel news, that good news of Jesus. But the gift of saving faith in Christ our Lord is not the only gift that the Spirit gives. There are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of ministries, and yet the same Lord. There are various kinds of activity, but the same God who produces them in everyone. Each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What is Paul teaching the Corinthians here? What's he teaching us with all this talk about gifts? Well, first of all, he wants us to realize that all believers, young, old, male, female, rich, poor, whoever it might be, all of us have spiritual gifts. Every Christian sitting in this church, every Christian sitting in churches all around the world has spiritual gifts. Each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So what are yours? Now you might be tempted to think that only those who serve in public ministry like pastors or teachers have spiritual gifts. You might be tempted to think about yourself, there's nothing extraordinary about me. What good could I possibly do? How could God possibly use me? What good could I even do for a congregation of believers like this? On the other hand, you might be on the other side of the spectrum going, I'm really confident in myself and my gifts. I know how good I am. The fact is, for most of us, it's not that you don't have any gifts. The Spirit, each person, is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's not that you don't have any gifts, but rather that you don't realize what the Spirit has already given to you. Until someone, maybe like a pastor, comes along and gives you some gospel encouragement. I'm reminded of two men named Mike in my former congregation up north. One was a middle-aged bachelor who taught our couple of teens in our teen class and served as a secretary on our council. He was a very quiet man. He helped his brother manage an auto parts store. But one thing I noticed early on while serving at that church and working with the leaders there is when he actually did speak, even the most outspoken stopped and listened. Interesting. He was spiritually mature in the faith, and he spoke wisely. Now, with some encouragement and equipping, and God even gave him the gift of a bride, he eventually became more of a leader in our congregation and eventually became the church president of our congregation during a time of great growth and change. The other Mike came to our congregation with his wife and kids through Bible information class. He was very quiet. He's usually the guy you'd expect to see with a group, but kind of the guy more in the corner, not really speaking up, but maybe laughing along with the group, not saying too much. He worked as a scheduling engineer. He was very good with his hands, but he was not someone who typically willingly stepped into roles of leadership or stepped forward. He would volunteer. He would serve. He was also willing to learn. When it was time for us to build a church, well, he surprised all of us and stepped forward to volunteer as the general contractor for our building project, in addition to his job. quietly he guided us through a building project while he was learning how this worked all along the way. And he spent countless hours in that building and on that project to make sure that we built a building that not only glorified God and let people know who we were, but also gave us opportunity to carry out the ministry that God had given to us. He was even one of those brave souls that went to the very top of our cupola to put the cross up on top so everyone knew we weren't just a dentist's office with a cross on top, but we were actually this beautiful church that was all about Christ crucified. If you ever want to see the video, I'll share it with you sometime. Neither of those Mikes saw themselves as leaders or taking on the roles that they did. That is until the Lord used some gospel encouragement to help them to realize the gifts they already had, that God had already given to them. But why does the Spirit give us these gifts? Each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Why does the Spirit give these gifts? For the good of his church, for the good of others. The Spirit provides the gifts that are needed. They're not static. Back when the good news of Christ was first going out and they didn't have the entire New Testament scriptures yet, the Lord provided extraordinary gifts in order to strengthen that message and support that good news message that was going out. But we have the New Testament scriptures now and we don't need those gifts anymore, and those gifts have faded away. But the Corinthians, they didn't need builders or composers or musicians or architects or craftsmen, yet we do. The Corinthians didn't need groundskeepers or administrators or vocalists or teachers, whether that's of school, preschool, or Sunday school, yet we do. The Corinthians didn't need graphic designers or engineers or folks with financial knowledge, yet we do. We need ushers to welcome folks. We need folks who understand technology. We need encouragers and mentors and counselors and Bible study facilitators. And Jesus cares volunteers to work with those with special needs. We need people who pray. Why? For the common good. It's what the church needs now. These gifts the Spirit gives to us, they're not for me, they're not for you, they're not for us, but they are for others. As God pours out his Spirit, he uses that diversity of gifts for the good of his church. He works through our gifts to bless his church, because you see, all these gifts are gifts of grace. One and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them to each one individually as he desires. They're not my gifts. They're not your gifts. They're not his gifts or her gifts. They're God's gifts, given graciously to bless us so others may come to know Christ, so others may confess Christ with us that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's a lot easier to, unity happens when we realize that all these gifts that God gives to us, I don't look at my fellow believer and go, man, I wish I was that, I wish I could do that, I wish I had that gift. But instead, we rejoice in the gifts of others and see that all of our gifts together work for the good of others, for the good of the church. And it's all part of that cycle that started at Pentecost when the Christian church was born, that cycle that continues today. We hear the gospel. We hear of our Savior Jesus. We hear of his death for our selfishness. We hear of him, his resurrection that raises us to new life. And the Spirit gives us the gift of saving faith in Jesus our Lord. And then he pours out his gifts in abundance on all his church. And no one becomes part of a congregation by accident. But rather for the time that Christ gives us, that they are with us or that we are with that congregation, God blesses them through his church, and God blesses his church through them and their gifts. No one becomes part of a congregation by accident. And then the Lord uses those gifts so a larger and larger harvest of souls can be brought in, so souls who say with us, by the Spirit, Jesus is Lord. And the cycle starts all over again. On this birthday weekend of the Christian church, the Spirit gives us gifts that are beyond compare, and it's good for us to remember that. What gifts given by the Spirit not because of anything we have earned or deserved, but purely, simply, truly because of God's grace in Christ. The Spirit, he gives us those gifts, and because the Spirit has so graciously given us those gifts, it is only fitting for us to pray with believers of all time. Come, Holy Spirit, renew in us, renew our hearts, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen.